Pakistan is just the latest example of where the United States cannot force another government to do what it wants. Today, as part of our series on American power, we'll talk about how more diplomacy and less brute force might help the U.S. get its way more often. Joseph Nye is co-author of a report on smart power released by the Center for Strategic and International Studies. He says that the U.S. should abandon the notion of a war on terror as the defining principle of its foreign policy.
We say that terror is a serious problem. It may take a generation to deal with it, but you don't lead with that in your foreign policy. What we've been doing is exporting fear, not hope. And in the past, the United States has been particularly good at exporting hope. We won the Cold War by a combination of hard and soft power that we call smart power. It was our military that essentially deterred Soviet aggression, but it was our ideas, our exchange programs, and so forth, which ate away communism behind the Berlin Wall. So when the wall eventually went down, it went down not under a barrage of artillery, but under hammers and bulldozers.
So you're saying under, at least in the last few years under the Reagan administration, that there was a nice balance between hard and soft.
Yes. I think the Reagan administration was very adept at combining hard and soft power. And while you need military power, you need hard power to deal with the hard cases like Osama bin Laden, if you're struggling against terrorism, what really matters is whether the mainstream is recruited by the radicals or whether we can attract them away from that. And that's the area where we've been deficient.
So it sounds like you're saying if you've lost the mainstream in a country, the U.S. could not get often what it wants from that government. But does it work in the reverse? The U.S. could be very popular. Government doesn't care.
Well, sometimes the U.S. can be popular and the government may be a dictatorship and not want to do what we want. I think, in fact, in Iran, you'll find that many Iranian teenagers want to watch American videos and have a positive image of the U.S., and the ruling mullahs obviously don't like the U.S. So there's a case where being attractive isn't necessarily going to get us everything we want because the people who are running the place find us unattractive. So it doesn't always work in reverse.
In the report, you talk about China. Now, China has stepped into a power vacuum left by the U.S., among others, engaging in Latin America, in Africa, in the Middle East, new markets, oil deals, forgiving debt, all without really putting any political conditions on these countries. Could the U.S. even do such a thing if it wanted to get more out of these countries?
China is interesting because Chinese leaders have picked up this idea of soft power. The Chinese have been trying to export Chinese culture. They've set up Confucius Institutes. They've been changing their diplomacy in Southeast Asia. Some of this we can compete with, for example, in participating in some of these multilateral institutions in Southeast Asia. But some we can't, which is giving a free ride to the Sudan government on Darfur.
Right, exactly. China may not be using hard power in these countries, but its soft power depends to some extent on its willingness and ability in the world to act functionally without morals, not put any conditions on its aid or make demands about human rights when it comes in with its products.
That's true. One of the things that's interesting, however, is, for example, the question of having a successful Olympics in Beijing has begun to worry the Chinese when non-governmental organizations are saying that they will call it the Genocide Olympics if the Chinese don't change their policies on Darfur. And the Chinese have begun, not fully, but begun to change their policies on Sudan and Darfur. That's a case of soft power hitting even a country like China.
Harvard Professor Joseph Nye is co-chair of the Commission on Smart Power, which issued a new report released by the Center for Strategic and International Studies.